are those who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive somewhere beyond the heavens.
Good evening, all of you folks who are, according to that 1970s sci-fi TV show intro, according to that 1970s sci-fi TV show intro, you might be a child of the Toltecs or the Mayans or the Sumerians or the ancient Egyptians. Maybe even the Incas or some tribe that we don't even know about because they got buried by volcanic ash. There are some who believe that Bigfoot is real. There are some who believe in vampires and ghosts and goblins. It is Thursday, just after 9 p.m. on November the 21st, 2019, right? Still November the 21st, 2019. That's good fucking news. Yeah, when I was a kid, I watched Battlestar Galactica. It's funny, that TV show more or less premiered a year after the first Star Wars movie, 1977, came out. Of course, that's episode 4, just to fuck with us. Isn't that some kind of special bullshit that the first Star Wars movie was episode 4? It's almost like they intended to mindfuck us right from the fucking beginning. Have you seen THX 1138? Yeah, same fucking artists. They basically wanted to mindfuck us right from the beginning. Fucking Star Wars. Anyways, Battlestar Galactica. That was the intro for the original Battlestar Galactica, not the Sci-Fi Channel reboot from the mid-2000s. Not that one. No. Not the sci-fi dark as fuck Battlestar Galactica. No. That was the 1970s disco style, disco extravaganza Battlestar Galactica. They discoed their way across the galaxy, being chased by the Xylons. Of course, being chased by the Xylons kind of sucks. Fuck it. Yeah, so it's Thursday night, folks. What are you up to? What are you guys up to out there? Did you just get done with dinner? Because it's, you know, almost 9 o'clock, well, just after 9 p.m. here. If you're on the East Coast, fuck, it's almost, what, midnight? Fuck. It's almost midnight on the East Coast, isn't it? Are you guys worried about the ghosts in the middle of the night? Are you worried about Xylons arriving at the speed of light? Are you worried about robot overlords and vampire kings? Are you worried that your wife is going to leave you because you don't have enough bling? You worry too much, you fuck. Take it from one guy to another. You worry too much, you fuck. Chill out, man. It's not like you have a rat garden. First topic for this evening, folks. This evening, just after 9 p.m. in Little Saigon on Thursday, November the 21st. I know I'm repeating the date and time. I'm doing that for a cosmic reason. I want you to realize the date and the time. Get some marker. It's a breadcrumb. It's a way back. Some of you are traveling through time right now. Some of you are traveling through time in search of ancient vengeance or grievance or regret. Ancient regrets, ancient grievances. First topic, if you capture the families, if you capture the moms and the dads, if you capture the brothers and the sisters and the moms and the dads, if you capture the families, you capture the nation. If you've ever studied the history of revolution or civil war, and frankly, any type of insurrection or chaos, interesting fact, for the most part, families will try to avoid these things. Like throughout history, families are basically fence sitters. And this is advice to all of you libertarians or anarchists out there who want to convince Democrats and Republicans to join your side, as if this thing has sides. You want to win, you have to capture the families. And families are fence sitters. They will go with the wind. If the wind points towards communism, I'll let you on a little secret. Mommy Bear and Papa Bear, if you can convince them that communism is good for little baby bear, they'll go with communism. If you can convince them that Nazism is good for little baby bear, they'll go with Nazism. If you capture the family, you capture the nation. But here's what's more important, folks. If you destroy the family, then I'm not even sure what you have left. I mean, that's the thing, you know. If there is no basis for society other than everybody waking up each day and going to a job, what kind of a fucking society is that? I mean, it is a society of slaves. It's a society of obedient fucking helots a la ancient Sparta. But what is there if there is no family? Now, the other thing is this. There's a lot of power in family. There's a lot of power in blood. There's a lot of power in being connected to people you love. Okay? People, left alone, by themselves, they dwindle, they die, they disappear. But families are strong. In fact, perhaps families are the only thing strong enough to stand up against the state. And then that's kind of why the government, aka state, aka crocodile on the Little Saigon report, that's kind of why they hate the family. And it's also why I think globalists want to destroy the family. Because once you've destroyed the family, I think you've destroyed the only pivot point for any change in the future. Like essentially, once you control the kids and the family, once you have convinced the moms and the dads, the boys and the girls, that their best chance in life is with Papa, Mama, Government. Once you've done that, it's hard to imagine how you go back. How do you go back to the world before? It's like, you know, how do I take, like, imagine you had a tiger cub and you put it in a zoo. And so you've raised this tiger cub in a zoo for decades and decades and decades. Well, I don't know. How long do tigers live? Let's say you raise it for half of its life, because I have no idea how long a fucking tiger lives. So it spends half of its life in the fucking zoo. And then one day you say, go, tiger, go, go. I'm releasing you to the fucking wild. Does that tiger survive? I really don't know. I mean, it's possible. But what's the likelihood the tiger finds a mate? What's the likelihood the tiger, even if it survives, has any offspring? I mean, in some weird, you know, random, chaotic universe, one can imagine a tiger falling in love with a raccoon. Like, imagine you were in charge of the Seattle, I don't know, Point Defiant Zoo. Do they have fucking lions and tigers? Imagine you work for Point Defiant Zoo here in Washington State. You're in charge of the fucking tigers, buddy. Imagine one day you were feeling really sad for the fucking tigers. And so you decide that you're going to let the tiger go. The tiger's name is... what is his name? Let's just pretend the tiger's name is Derek. So you load Derek, the 200-pound Bengal tiger, into the back of your Toyota Prius, and you zip, zip, zip up to the North Cascades, up near, I don't know, maybe Diablo Lake, someplace like that, up Highway 20, you motherfucker. And you let the tiger go. You let Derek the tiger go off into the North Cascades to live the rest of his life free. Free from the zoo, free from the specially prepared food, free from the immediate health care. You don't really get that in nature, no. Free from having people check in on you, free from anybody giving a shit if you live or die. Yeah, good old Derek has his freedom. But folks, freedom can be lonely. Freedom can be lonely as fuck. And poor Derek is in the North Cascades as we speak, all lonely and sad and cold. Sure, he ate a rabbit. Barely filled him up. One day, Derek is walking by a stream not far from Lake Diablo. He is drinking water from the stream, and all of a sudden, a little creature shows up. At first, Derek looks and says, "Is this food?" And then the little creature and Derek's eyes lock. The little creature of the North Cascades ain't never seen no Bengal fucking tigers before. The little creature. Who knows what the name of the little creature was? Maybe it was Maria. Maybe it was Senorita Princess Queen Gabriella. But the little creature was a raccoon. And Derek was in love. Derek and the little creature chased each other for a while. They ran and ran in nature's blissful love. Derek and the little female raccoon made a little home up near the caves. and they spent the night making sweet, sweet love. Several weeks later, the first incidents were reported to the Skagit Valley Herald in Mount Vernon, Washington. Breaking news, 3 campers disappear. Nobody really knows why. Their site was completely ransacked. There were just trails of blood, little fucking footprints, and terrible, terrible cuts in their brand new Kevlar REI ballistic resistant fucking tents. How the fuck did some creature cut into those tents? Nobody knows. Not all families are meant to be, folks. I'm not sure that a Bengal tiger and a raccoon would produce anything this world wants. In fact, I think that, yeah, probably the only thing worse than a French bulldog would be the offspring of a tiger and a raccoon. And I'm not even saying it's feasible, but you know they'd try. You capture the family, folks. You capture the country. You capture the families, and you capture power. And if you eliminate the family, in my view, you eliminate, I think, a big portion of people's authentic ability to stand up to power. You eliminate the organic, natural family, and all that's left is Papa State, Mama government. All that is left is the system. The system that feeds you, the system that clothes you, the system that educates you, the system that gives you meaning, the system that tells you that everything you're doing as an American is good and free and brave. Everything you're doing as an American is wonderful and free and brave and good. Every single thing. The system reinforces you, the system loves you, and the system even gives you a substitute for family. It's called social media. You don't need family, man. You got all these people online that love you. Yeah, I mean, they're not exactly people who will usually help you in any real sense, but hey, they'll pump up your ego if you pump up theirs. And maybe that's all you need in the future. Just people to pump up your fucking ego. You don't need a family. You don't need a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister. You just need millions of people who you don't know, who pretend to know you, and push a little like button. Yeah. I think if you capture the family, you capture the state, you capture the country. And if you destroy the family, you destroy a source, not the only source, but one of the major sources, as contradictory or counterintuitive as this may sound. If you destroy the family, you destroy one of the major sources of opposition to the state, of rebellion. It is true, the family is itself an inherently conservative institution. It is also an inherently revolutionary institution because it is, by its nature, a point of opposition. It always is. Everybody loves their family over other people's families. That's just the way the fucking thing works. Yeah, some people say, I hate my family, until the family comes together during a tragedy. And then all of a sudden, you don't hate them so much. All of a sudden, those brothers and sisters that you haven't talked to in years, all of a sudden, they become important. I guess I'm meditating on this for a while because it's almost Thanksgiving and a lot of you folks are going to go on trips next week and see family, and I know a lot of people are kind of torn apart right now for reasons that I both understand and I am horrified by. There are many, many bases, justifications for my reason for being an anarchist, not least of which, and maybe this is a fringe benefit, you know, fringe benefits, those things you get on the side. Maybe this is a fringe benefit, but I have to say, the Democrat versus Republican bullshit is tearing people apart. The Trump versus Hillary versus whatever is tearing people apart, and it is on purpose. All the fucking gender nonsense. How many genders are there now? Are there 70? Are there 100? Are there 70,000 times 100? I have no fucking clue. But all of this is tearing people apart, and especially families. And don't even get me started on the financial issues, the money. You know, we can all poo-poo, oh, isn't the government telling us that we have full employment? Full employment, folks. When I took economics in college, full employment was defined as an unemployment rate of 5% or less. So if your unemployment rate was 5% or less, you have achieved full fucking employment. Yeah, for the 5%, it kind of sucks, but that's just the rounding error of existence, buddy. That's just a fraction. I don't want to beat this topic to death, but I've been thinking about this question because a lot of people in the anarchist movement will strategize. How do we get people focused on liberty? How do we get people to break free of their, you know, personal imprisonment, their personal situation vis-a-vis the state? And the problem is the people you need, the people you have to convince, are basically the moms and the dads, the ones that are left. And I don't know how you win that battle. I don't know how you convince people, given the current situation, that they're better off choosing liberty over tyranny. Because currently, the tyranny, even if it's crooked, even if it's crooked money, even if the whole thing is a scam, the tyranny pays. Just like Bernie Madoff, folks. For years and years and years and years, Bernie Madoff paid. Which means there were people in his scam that made money. There were people who invested with Bernie Madoff and withdrew all their funds and made money. Now, they weren't the majority. They were probably that small percentage, kind of like the 5%. That we don't give a shit about because we got full fucking employment. Yeah, there were people that made money, and there are people today in America who participate in the various scams. You know, there's the healthcare scam and the home flipping scam and the financialization scam and the military blow people up and set people on fire scam. There are lots of fucking scams. There's the prison scam, and don't even get me started on the lawyer judicial system scam. If you've never been to a courthouse recently, it's like going to a corporation. It's a fucking business. The courthouse is a business, folks. The judge is an employee of that business. Scam on top of scam, and lots of people do make money off of these scams. Lots of people do. You know, you can be all sarcastic and say, the government doesn't really make money. Well, it doesn't produce wealth. It doesn't. But it does know how to steal it. Maybe not in the most efficient way possible, but it's the fucking government. The government doesn't produce anything, but it does know how to steal. And as long as it knows how to steal, it can redistribute those monies to people that are good and loyal. Good, loyal families of the crocodile. They get money, they get help. The good, loyal families of the crocodile always get support. And that's, you know, that's the problem. So I don't know what we do. Historically, families have been quite conservative, but they've also always been inherently oppositional. And it seems like a contradiction, but it's not. Historically, families go with the wind. Like during the American Revolution, a very small percentage of people, represented the revolutionary forces. People with families probably did what they could to fucking survive. That's true. The French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, that's true. The fucking Nazis coming to power in Germany. Families will go with whatever fucking crazy dude that comes along or crazy chick and tells them, I will protect you and your kids. And it doesn't matter what they sell. They might sell something horrible, but as long as it's designed to protect your family and your kids, you're going to go along with it. As long as they tell you it's for the children, you're going to vote for it because you're a family person. And I get it, folks. Next topic. So, some people get the impression that I don't like technology at times because I'm critical of certain kinds of technology, and I'm also critical of our overdependence on certain kinds of technology. This is true. This does not mean I hate technology, because how could I? I've worked in technology, I've made money off the fucking bullshit. I'm a clever fucking monkey. We've been doing technology for thousands of years. Yeah. In recent fucking centuries, we've really gone ape shit. We got a lot more technology than we know what to do with. But humans have been doing technology, quote unquote, since the fucking beginning. From the very first moment we picked up a rock and killed something with it, guess what? We started using technology. So I'm not opposed to technology. But there's a point at which this overdependence, I think, weakens us. I actually believe that we are weakened by the overuse of computerization. I think we're weakened. I think we become less stupid the more we use our smart devices. I know that sounds counterintuitive. I know that Google and Eric Schmidt and fucking Tim Cook at Apple and fucking Bezos, they'll all tell you that the Alexas and the Googles and all these tools and all these robots and all these intelligent agents are things making you smarter. No. They're making you dumber. They are. Okay? Of the many reasons why I dropped the quote-unquote smartphone and went back to just a regular phone was because I could tell I was getting stupider just because of that fucking device. And who knows why? I kind of think it's just mainly the fact that it's a distraction. It's a distraction from life, and it's a constant distraction. It's a constant focus for a lot of people. A lot of people cannot go for a fucking walk without looking at their phone. And one of the reasons why is they're afraid to. They're afraid to look around. Look at the fucking situation in Seattle. People don't want to look right. They don't want to look left. They don't want to look at the sky. God forbid you look at the heinous shit happening in the sky, you fuck. Because whatever your feelings about it, it looks weird and unsettling as fuck. So yeah, people just stare at their fucking phone. I get it. One of the arguments people will make is, well, Dan, this technology is making us more efficient. It's making us, you know, stronger, better, whatever. It's making us more agile, all this technology is improving our lives. Okay. I have a little bit of a thought process for you. Imagine I came along in a big old, you know, tall fucking, I don't know, one of those fucking black hats. You know, the stovepipe hats or the big black hat, the fucking old-timey, I got a tuxedo on, fucking big black hat. Imagine I showed up all flim-flammy with my fucking big black hat and I told you, listen, buddy, it's all about wheels now. Have you noticed your neighbors no longer have legs? That's right, buddy, because they got wheels, man. Wheels of the future. For a very small price, I can cut off your legs. For a very limited time and a very small fee, I can cut off your legs and replace them with wheels. Even if the wheels made you faster, even if the wheels made you capable of doing jobs you could never imagine doing, how many people would replace their legs with wheels? I don't really know. I mean, I would have said 10 years ago, people had said, no, I'll keep my fucking regular legs. Even people who might not like their legs, that, oh, I've got fucking blemishes and liver spots and those fucking spider veins and all that fucking bullshit, give me the fucking wheels. Even those people would probably prefer their natural human legs to a set of wheels. But the basic argument of the technology, folks, is that this computerization is going to make you smarter. Like wheels for the brain. But it doesn't really work like that. Isn't it funny that we would probably keep our legs, but we want to give up our brains? Or maybe it's not funny. Maybe it's not even that interesting. Maybe there's no fucking mystery. Our legs don't have conversations with us. Our legs don't stress us out. Our legs are not debating each other. Are you voting for Donald Trump or Tulsi Gabbard? Because that'll be a debate in about a fucking, 8 months, man. 8 to 9 months from now, people will say Tulsi versus Trump. Trump versus Tulsi. Tulsi versus Trump. Trump versus Tulsi. TNT. TNT, man. Now imagine I came to your small town and I said, listen, I've got these robot legs. These robot legs, they look like your legs. No, they look better. These robot legs, they'll actually help you lose weight, you know, the rest of your body. You're going to look healthy and happy and fit and muscular. If you're a woman, you're going to look more beautiful. If you're a guy, you're going to look more handsome with these fucking robot legs. Look at these fucking robot legs. They're amazing. They have Bluetooth. These robot legs can talk to your phone. These robot legs can talk to Alexa and that Google bullshit and who the fuck knows about Apple. What? Who the fuck do you talk to with Apple? It's not Alexa. It's Xenu or... No, Xenu. That's from Scientology. What was my point of this topic? I'll tell you what it is. Just because computers can help us, they're good tools. I think computers are great tools. Doesn't imply I think somebody should shove a computer chip into your brain. And just because your automobile is very helpful as a tool, like you can go really fast in your car, doesn't mean you should chop off your legs and replace them with wheels. Like maybe there should be a distinction between the things you do and the things machines do or tools do. And maybe more importantly, one of the benefits of this distinction is it keeps people healthier, happier. maybe people would live longer and be happier if they weren't so fucking connected all the time. And I know, I'm not actually saying something that is that earth-shattering. I mean, I will say this. There were very few people, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago who were that critical of social media. I was certainly one of those people. I experimented with it. It was a giant fail for me. But the fact is, a lot of people now are realizing social media and, frankly, the ubiquitous computerization is kind of unhealthy and it's damaging. It's hurting people. It's hurting young people. So, yeah, anyways, if some dude wants to offer you wheels instead of your natural legs, my suggestion is tell them to fuck off. Tell them your legs work fine, buddy. Tell them you're okay with the scars and the blemishes. That's what I would do. Tell them you're okay because you're a human being and not a fucking machine. And those blemishes and those scars and those things in your body, on your body, and even inside of your brain, your soul, your mind, those scars are part of who you are. Why be ashamed? Next topic. I've sort of intimated this. I've sort of alluded to this in the past a little bit. When I die, when I finally die one day, I want to be used up, folks. I don't want somebody to look at my body in the morgue and say, look at that truly healthy body, that truly pristine, healthy 70-year-old. Wow, he could have lived to be 100, but he didn't. When I die, I want them to discover things. I want them to figure out that there just wasn't one thing wrong with me, but there were at least 5 things that were going to kill me. When I die, I want them to cut my body open and find parasites and bacterial colonies that aren't supposed to be there, and who the fuck knows, ants and roaches and worms. When I die, I want to be sick. When I die, I don't want to say to myself, oh, I wish I could have had another glass of wine. Nah, I had as many as I wanted. Oh, I wish I could have another beer. Nope, I had plenty of beer. I could die happy today. No, when I die, I don't want to say to myself, gee, I wish I would have had something I didn't have. That doesn't mean people get to have everything. We don't get to have everything. It just means, why not, given the fact that you're only here once, why not enjoy yourself a little bit? Why not eat the food that might kill you? Why not jump out of the airplane? You might die. Who knows? The parachute might not open. Why not take an adventure? Why not do something a little bit dangerous? Why not go swimming in that fucking river in Brazil and then end up coming home with one of those nasty-ass fish crawled up into your fucking wee-wee? I mean, it sounds horrible, and it's terrible, and I would not want that. But when they cut me open, on my final fucking day, I want them to find tumors and parasites. I want them to find at least 5 things that would have killed me. I want them to go to my family and say, you know what, Dan? Holy shit. He had 5 things that was going to kill him. Guess what? This will make my family feel better. Instead of it being a fucking tragedy, it'll be like, holy fuck, I guess we should have expected that. He had all the fucking parasites. We told him we would take him to the vet with our dogs. Our vet's perfectly willing to treat any kind of fucking animal. when I die, I don't want to miss much of anything. I really don't. And I think that part of it is just letting go of the things you can't have and being thankful for the things you can. There's a lot of stuff that I'm never going to have, probably. There's a lot of things in this life you're probably never going to have. I mean, you know, if I'm the first person to tell you this, I'm sorry. But there's a lot of things you might want that you will never have. When you die, hopefully before you die, let go of that shit before you die. Let go of that shit right now. You are not going to have everything you want. That's number one. Number two, you need to be kind of thankful for the things you have. I'm not saying be a grateful fucking slave. Big fucking difference. This is not a training session in obedience theory. I am not telling you to go up to the fucking crocodile and say, thank you for the fucking crocodile turd, you fuck. No. What I'm saying is this. This life can be fucking hard sometimes. And it's sometimes very short. Some people don't live that long. The girl in my class when I was 10 years old died. Bacterial meningitis. Bamo, flammo. May have been viral. Who knows? Point is, she got the meningitis and she died. She was 10 years old. Some people don't live very long on planet Earth. Does that mean their life was worthless? No. Some people live to be 100. Holy fuck, I read an article about this woman someplace in the fucking Caucasus, someplace in Central Asia. The article claimed she was the oldest person alive. What? She was like, what, 119, 120, 127? I don't know how old she was, but this is what was interesting. She claimed she didn't have one fucking happy day her whole fucking life. Her whole life was miserable as fuck. That was her main message. And oh, by the way, to all you fucking positive thinking people out there, if I think positive and I eat the grape nuts and I eat the vegetables and drink the fresh water and go walking every day, I'll live to be 100. No, it doesn't fucking work like that. For all sorts of reasons. Not the least of which is, they might be lying to you about what the healthy life is. They really might be. I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but there's stuff people do that might actually be unhealthy that they think is healthy. For example, over-exercising. I know lots of people that love to over-exercise, especially as they get older. They're probably killing themselves. They should probably switch to walking. They should probably focus on reducing metabolic rate, not speeding it up. But fuck, the media tells them 60-year-old people are fucking hella skiing someplace in Switzerland. Don't you want to be a 60-year-old hella skier in Switzerland? You gotta live hard. You gotta shred it if you want to get there. That means taking the human growth hormone if you're a guy, or maybe some extra testosterone, right? And if you're a woman, take that estrogen. Shit, that ain't gonna hurt you, right? They don't really tell you, though, that these hormones enhance oncogenesis. No, they never really mention that. Not too much. They don't talk about the cancer. They just talk about how you're going to be hella skiing and your skin's going to look great. When I die, I want there to be at least 5 good fucking reasons. I will settle for being attacked and killed by coyotes. I will settle for being run over by some very large truck. There are a lot of scenarios I'm perfectly willing to accept. But the one scenario that horrifies me is I live to be 100 and they look at my body and say, oh boy, he could have lived another 10 years. No, 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 no. I don't want any autopsy where the result is Dan could have lived another 10 years. No, I want the fucking forensic examiner to fucking write an essay on how it was impossible that Dan lived this fucking long. I want there to be an article on, holy fuck, how did he live to be 60? How did he live 60 years on planet Earth? He had 5 different kinds of parasites, 7 different kinds of cancer, 8 different kinds of autoimmune, and at least, well, frankly, there's more viruses in his blood than blood. He's filled with every kind of glimulate, and every kind of Grimoire and all the fucking single-celled amoeba. He is filled with poisons and toxins and mercury, sawdust, and gasoline. He should have been dead years ago, but he's not. Well, he's dead now. I don't know if I was able to glean out a message in that topic, but here's the message for me. I'm going to do the best I can to get rid of regrets. I've never really been good at it. I have a lot of regrets I've carried around. And at this point in human history, at this point in my own life history, carrying around regrets is only going to hurt you. Okay? Believe me. I really do think this is the case. In the not too distant future, we will all have problems that are bigger than some fuck-up we did in normie land back in the past. Some word we said that was mean, some girl we didn't ask out, some marriage that went kablooey we might have saved. Let all of that shit go, folks, because that shit's gonna get washed away anyways. Next topic. This hour of the Little Saigon Report is brought to you by Jonah's Escape Service of Little Saigon. Have you read the Book of Jonah? Jonah's Escape Service is based upon the basic principle that if you're going to be good at helping people escape, you should know how to help people escape from God. At Jonah's Escape Service of Little Saigon, we have a submarine parked at, Shil Shol Marina. The submarine is made of a high-grade titanium. This submarine is lead-lined and cobalt-lined. This submarine is designed to shield neutrons and electrons, positons, protons, tachyons, Higgs boson, and any kind of fucking on you can think of if you're in, if you're God. Jonah's Escape Service is designed to take care of whales trying to eat you, to take you to someplace. Jonah's Escape Service will prevent any demons or fucking any omnipotent creatures from ever knowing what the fuck you're doing. Once you go down the hole with Jonah's Escape Service of Little Saigon, no one will ever find you again. Jonah's Escape Service of Little Saigon has been in business for roughly, about 3,000 years. Originally, we were just a boating company on the shores of the Mediterranean. One day, an Israelite came to our door and said, "Buddy, I need to get the fuck out of town. I need to go someplace crazy like Spain." "Why is that, pal?" "I'm being chased, buddy." "Well, who's chasing you, pal?" "Well, the Hebrew God." Next topic. Oh, there's another Life Flight helicopter. Yeah, those flight pads for the traumacopters, they get a little crowded sometimes. A lot of people east of here, a lot of rich people who run the world, having heart attacks and strokes. Must be a good sign. In 1996, I think it was 96, I was 26 years old. I had just gotten commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Army, and I was preparing to drive to Fort Bliss, Texas. It was the first time I had driven cross country, in the first vehicle I had ever owned. I did not own a vehicle. Pretty much didn't own a vehicle till I was 26. When I was in college, at the UW and other situations, I took the fucking bus. I didn't own a vehicle. And along the road, I ended up on Route 666. So I'm driving from basically Seattle, Washington to Fort Bliss, Texas. I'm not going to go over the whole path, but I'm on Route 666. And what's funny is that movie, Natural Born Killers, had come out, I think a year or two before that. So I was in the hotel, taking a break. I think I was actually, it was right prior to, I think, taking the leg of the trip on Route 666. And I watched that movie. It was on the HBO, on the hotel TV. Natural Born Killers, and Woody Harrelson, he was out on Route 66 killing people, murdering people. On the trip to Fort Bliss, I stopped not too far from the Navajo reservation. I think this must have been when I was in New Mexico or Nevada, Arizona, I forget, but I was not too far from the Navajo reservation. And I was in a gas station, one of these, there's lots of these along the fucking highways, a gas station / diner, a little diner with a little fucking, you get your fucking greasy spoon food. Well, I end up at this fucking gas station, and this old Indian guy comes up to me. I'm not making this shit up, and you can add this to things that I don't know if I regret, but questions that are to be left unanswered. This old Indian dude comes up to me and says, he basically doesn't even know me. He says, "You need to follow me. I live about 20 miles away." Now keep in mind, folks, I'm 26 years old. I have never really been anywhere, okay, in my life. I was driving cross country for the first time, and an old Indian dude tells me, "Why don't you follow me up into the hills on the reservation? It's only about 20 miles away." And no, I did not have a mobile phone, and even if I'd had one, it wouldn't have helped, folks. Not back then. That would have definitely been what's called a cell phone outage area. You would not have a cell phone that worked. This strange Native American came up to me and basically told me that I needed to follow him back to his place. He said he was a shaman. He said he had something to tell me, and it was really important. Now, there are people I have met in recent years who would have gone with the Native American. I know there are. And in recent years, I've tried that approach. The whole Goat King episode was in part about me saying yes to the universe instead of no. And sometimes when you say yes to the universe, the answer the universe gives you is no. Like, no fucking way. Like, "We're so sorry, but no, this ain't gonna happen, Dan." I know that's a weird topic, but I was thinking about it because, again, it's kind of a regret. What if I'd followed that Native American? It's kind of like, you know, my high school counselor back in 88 saying I should spend a year in Mexico after graduation. At the time, I thought, how the fuck do I get to Mexico? How do I get the resources to get there? I ain't never been anywhere but Mount Vernon, Washington. What the fuck are you talking about, Mr. Fox? But maybe I should have gone to Mexico when I was 18. Maybe I should have gone with that Native American when I was 26. Maybe that day in the spring of 1996 when that beautiful young woman told me, why don't we get into your truck and just drive? And why don't you just give up on all this military bullshit? Maybe I should have done that. You see, I'd like to think that I was making the right choices. Like, I'm gonna get commissioned. Why would I give up on all that and follow a beautiful young blonde woman someplace random? In retrospect, I wish I would have fucking done that. And I would have told the US Army to go fuck itself. A lot of drinking, bad drinking, a lot of bad fucking memories, and a lot of bullshit would have never been accrued. Can I tell you that I hated everything about the Army? No. But I can't tell you I loved everything, and there's a reason why I did it. I went on active duty, I finished out whatever I was required to do, and then I got the fuck out. Maybe that old Native American intended to kill me. Maybe that would have happened. Or maybe that would have been another point in my life where I could have turned right instead of left. And who knows? Maybe nothing would have happened. Maybe it was a scam. Folks, I don't have the answer. Last but not least, this is the Little Saigon Report, as you well know. We're not made of money here in Little Saigon. We're self-funding all of the futuristic technology we use. All of the technology we've accrued comes from the Mayans and the Toltecs and the Incas and the Egyptians. But given all that, if you enjoy this podcast, if you enjoy it, A, and B, if you have money, and C, if you've taken care of the things you need to take care of and the people you love, and you still have a few bucks left over, then I will include a Venmo link in the description of this podcast. If you like this podcast and you have the money to support it, you are not required, you are not obviously not required to, but if you can, it's appreciated. I will include a link to Venmo in the description. There's also a link to Venmo on my SoundCloud homepage, donate to Venmo type link on the right hand panel. If you want to, you can. I will not lie to you. I enjoy the podcasting, but I have a lot of room for improvement. And so I don't know what it's worth to you. But whatever you think it's worth to you, whatever you think you're willing to help out with, I would love it if you did. If you don't have the money, don't. And that's okay too. In fact, if all you can do is just spread the word of the Little Saigon Report, spread it here and there, hitherto, spread the word of the Little Saigon Report to every gas station, every truck stop, every mungot hole frequented by the clown folk of yesteryear. Spread the truth of the Little Saigon Report beyond the mountains, beyond the Great River. Spread the truth of the Little Saigon Report every mall, every fucking carnival. Go to the churches and the chapels, go to the monasteries, go to the kings and the queens, those fucks. Spread the truth of the Little Saigon Report and it'll help out a great deal.